One of the things that I was surprised to learn was that the ion channels in the cell membrane oscillate at up to 1,000 times a second. They're very twitchy, and so it doesn't take a lot of energy to either shut them or open them.
And there's also other types of things with these ion channels that if you are mineral depleted, these things don't work correctly either. So our diets in the world, our soils are so destroyed from the commercial fertilizers and pesticides, the trace minerals and things that are necessary for these ion channels to work correctly, they don't vacillate well. And because of our non-nourishing foods, we're seeing more and more electrical sensitivity or chemical sensitivity.
Do you ask people about their occupations? Do you use that as one of the flags?
It's not only the occupations, but what they were exposed to as a child and in their workforce and at home. It all ties in together. There's been a number of studies that show that women that work at places that have more than 10 milligauss of electromagnetic fields in the background have a four-time incidence of breast cancer and ovarian cancer than those who work in a lower electromagnetic field environment. Electrical line workers have a higher rate of heart attack and stroke and various autonomic and neurological dysfunctions than those who do not work with high power lines at all. There are some people whose detoxification systems work well and they can handle it, but 3% of the world is extremely sensitive, 16% is mildly sensitive, the other 81% look at the rest of us like we're crazy.
Yes, yes, I understand. And, of course, a lot of the safety standards are set using workers in industry who, of course, if they couldn't take it, they wouldn't be there at all.
Right, and so many of those have to make a living, and so they're not going to complain about it.
Right.
When Thomas Edison was working back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, every single person that worked on his alternating current studies developed what they called electrical sickness. And he went to General Electric and he said, look, none of my people working on the direct current are ill, but every one of my people working this alternating current that you're developing are ill. Please don't do this. You're going to hurt the health of citizens. And they said, screw you. This is cheaper to make.
Wow.
And they went with AC. And that's why Europe went with DC.
Well, indeed. And in fact, as late as 1966, I just learned, we were still running 200 and I think it was 200 or 220 volts DC into some houses.
Yes, without major illness in the majority of people.
When you're talking about 10 milligauss, the level that I work to here with my clients is 0.2 milligauss.
Yes. Studies are showing that anything over 3 milligauss will increase the incidence of leukemia and lymphoma by 400%, and that if you have a cancer and you're trying to treat the leukemia or the breast cancer or whatnot, and you're in the presence of more than 1.5 to 2 milligauss, the cancer will become resistant to all chemotherapy.
Right, that's the thing about the tamoxifen not working.
Yes. So here you have your cell phone in your purse next to your shoulder as a woman, and you get breast cancer, and then you go in there and you get treated for it. Still carrying your cell phone, you have now made the breast cancer you caused become resistant to everything you're trying to do. And that cell phone to the ear takes and it stimulates the Rankle enzyme, which is the receptor on the bone that causes the osteoblast to come, and they break up the bone and release calcium, and that causes osteoporosis and weakens the bone and makes it more likely to be invaded by metastatic breast cancer.
Wow.
Most people that have osteoporosis and osteopenia will not get better if they don't get rid of their cell phones.
On the subject of health, we find here that people are more interested in the value of their real estate or the health of their pets than they seem to be about the dangers of mobile phones.
The interesting thing is that the value of the real estate drops 30% if they're within 300 meters of a cell phone tower. At least that was the case in New Zealand and parts of Australia. When people became aware of the health risk, the real estate value crashed.
Well, I think the same thing is happening here, but it's much slower. Inevitably, as buyer awareness grows, I think we're going to see more and more of this.
It is one of the things that the real estate agents require in disclosure. You have to disclose the proximity of Wi-Fi relays and cell phone towers now.
Well, the problem with that is that, you know, a lot of houses in America are detached. We have a lot of semi-detached here, but it's the same with apartments and condos. You may have a cell phone tower 600 meters away, but you may equally well have a neighbor with a wireless router and Wi-Fi and cordless phone and a 3G booster on the wall to get a stronger signal in the house and a video repeater and any number of things.
I'm talking to some communities here in Southern California, trying to get them to have a sensitivity neighborhood. So they don't allow pesticide spraying. They don't allow chemicals to be applied without
a warning. Wouldn't that be a thing?
No cell phone towers nearby, no overhead power lines. No one in the area can use the wireless routers. No one can be using smart meters on their gas meters or electric meters that broadcast 24 hours a day so that some meter reader 2 miles away can read what the reader meter content is. We're trying to get them to protect these people because in America, in 1990, the American Disabilities Act allowed for invisible disabilities, which electromagnetic fields is one of those, that they have to be protected. And I want the city planning places to begin to plan for these people, just like people having Braille on the elevators or wheelchair ramps on the buildings and things. We have to protect these people. It's just as much of a disability as being in a wheelchair.
We have exactly the same situation here, and I think it's the same all around the world. There is no legal protection for people who are environmentally sensitive, and until that's in place, it's very difficult to attract the capital investment to build such a place because it can be compromised at any time. Until electromagnetic hypersensitivity or any of these environmental sensitivities are fully acknowledged, trying to raise the cash to build the environment is going to be very difficult. And the trouble is, you know, if these people start not getting sick like everybody else, it'll be an experiment that really shows up the difference.
In another 30 years, this will be proven to be more of a risk than cigarette smoking, leaded gas, and asbestos combined.
I think you're entirely right.
What's happening is the rate of infertility is climbing significantly. A person that carries a cell phone, the male has 10% of the sperm count that he would have, and most of the sperm there are dysfunctional compared to one who does not carry a cell phone.
Yeah, you don't need to go many generations before it all starts to fall apart.
That's correct. They're saying that within 3 to 4 generations that we will be infertile as a species.
Well, I've just ordered Pottinger's Cats. I'll be looking forward to reading that.
It's a fabulous read talking about how that dietary things have an effect for the next 4 generations, and even the excrements of cats fed pasteurized milk and cooked meats, the seeds that grew out in the yard were incapable of bearing more plants, and the plants that grew in the soil from the poop that was malnourished, the plants were spindly and quite yellow.
So it was all toxic.
Toxic and malnourishing.
Yeah. Let me ask you, what do you say to people who come to you and they tell you about their situation and they're clearly awash with environmental toxins of one sort or another? What do you say to them?
I tell them we're going to have to do things very gradual, that they are very, very special people. They need to allow themselves time to heal. We need to let the rest of the family know that these people are not crazy, that these people indeed have some real things. And so I draw the blood test to show the genetic inherited enzyme weaknesses. Or if they don't want to do that and they just want to try, then we can take and just do a gentle protocol. But whatever you do, you have to do gradually. You try to get them in a steam sauna, and there's no way to remove the toxins that are being released by the tissues, and they get sicker. So you have to start back, and I use a series of homeopathic drainage remedies. And I use these at very, very low doses, very, very slowly for about 4 to 8 weeks. And then once the lymphatics have opened and the liver is draining out better and the kidneys are draining better and the skin and the cerebral spinal fluid and everything, then I might consider doing a liver detox with a coffee enema, or I might consider doing some milk thistle, or I might add the methylated folic acid for them, since a third of the world can't methylate their folic acid because of the epigenetics, because mama didn't eat green vegetables and the baby in the womb didn't feel the need to turn on that gene.
Yeah.
4 more generations before it ever gets turned on, even if you start eating your greens now, you have to take a methylated folic acid supplement, or you don't make the neurotransmitters and detoxify the liver. Some people don't have the glutathione, so I have to use a transdermal glutathione, because if you take it orally, you break it down into glycine, glutamine, and cysteine and can't put it back together in the liver, and you can't detoxify. And an autistic child isn't going to take something that tastes like sulfur anyway, so you rub it on the skin a couple of times a day, get the methylated folic acid in after you've done your drainage remedies, and a lot of these people begin to function. They can start thinking. I got an email from a lady just yesterday that she was a chemically sensitive individual, electromagnetically field sensitive person with fibromyalgia, and we finally got some disability for her after 5 different tries. I wrote all this up and showed the genomics detoxification weakness, and she was taking these things, and every time she tried to do something, she got worse. And so I sent her the drainage remedies. I was waiting for her to come out here for me to treat her, but I finally sent it to her in the mail. She began to use it, and she emailed me. She said, for the first time in 35 years, my brain is working. She says, when I come out there next week to see you, I will be the best that I've ever been since I was a teenager, and you won't get to see me as bad as I was. She says, I don't know why there's not more homeopathic doctors like you in the world, but you're the only thing. She says, I've been treated by 25 other doctors, and they made me worse.
Wow.
She says, I thank God for homeopathics.
Well, listen, I hope that goes well.
I do, too. I look forward to her getting her life back.
Yes. Let me just touch on mercury and what your view is on that.
Mercury is one of the most toxic substances in the world. Mercury can be removed in low doses by a microorganism that is in our intestinal tract called Candida. Most people don't like the thought of having Candida in them, but that is the only organism that will eat mercury and take it out of your body. And in low amounts that's normally present in the world, you do okay. You guys coexist. If you take too much mercury from getting mercury amalgams and it's leaching, Candida will overgrow. And Candida, when they get overgrown, it becomes systemic yeast. They produce chemicals that shut down your liver. They stop the metabolism of glucose effectively. You cannot make the good EPA, DHA. They suppress the production of hydrochloric acid, so you can't digest your foods. They make you into a walking zombie that aches all over and is too tired to do anything about it from too much mercury. Mercury shuts down mitochondrial function. It shuts down cytochrome systems, so you can't detoxify. You can't do anything. And unfortunately, once this system gets going, it's really, really hard to detoxify it. If you have an individual who has mercury in the cells suppressing the mitochondria, I have found that if they have electromagnetic field sensitivities, you can't get the cells to dump that toxin out because of the glycoprotein shutting down. It won't come out even with chelation. You can give them the world's strongest chelator. It won't come out if they have electromagnetic field sensitivities and their presence of an electromagnetic field.
Right.
Here in San Diego, there's 10 million times the amount of background radiation today than there was in 1970 because of all the Wi-Fis, the cell phone towers, the weather station, the airplane satellite, the telecommunications, the military communications, all this crap. I am feeling like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I am so nervous in this environment because of the fields. I have to wear a pennant to protect myself all the time and run home and get underneath the burned earth part of the house, and I feel better.
Wow.
So I couldn't detoxify mercury when I'm sitting here in this room, but I do use forms of oral chelation, and there's an herb that is made from hops that Metagenics came out with. It's called Metalloclear, and it stimulates the metallomethionine synthetase in the mitochondria, and it starts sticking that mercury onto methionine and begins to bring it out gently after I've done my drainage remedy. Many times when you try to do these intravenous chelations or strong oral chelations, they end up mineral depleted and actually feel worse than they did before. Metalloclear has been able to help my clients release it gently. Most mercury amalgams in the mouth should never have been put there to begin with, but they don't have to be removed. What you need to do is watch out for the mercury in the fish, and one place that's even worse than that is in corn syrup. Corn syrup is not really a sugar. It is a chemical. It is not fructose at all. It is a chemical, and it is processed with mercury, and you will get more mercury from corn syrup than you will from eating tuna. Gradual things are very important. If you try to do too much, it's just like a football player who tries to go out and play without stretching up and warming up. He will tear his hamstrings and end up in disaster. So same way with chronic fatigue. Their mitochondria are not working, and you can't produce the energy. So I do everything that I can to support the mitochondria and then gradually begin to help them build back up to where they were. Somebody who used to run marathons, they haven't run it in 5 years. They cannot go out and run a marathon without disastrous effects. And you have to help the body gradually train. Part of the problem is that somebody with chronic fatigue fibromyalgia, they're not using the Krebs cycle in the mitochondria. They're in the lactic acidosis cycle. And they've already felt like they ran 5 miles before they start. So you have to get the mitochondria working again. That starts in the gut because human mitochondria, we don't make them. We get them donated to us from probiotics in our intestinal tract. And when you take antibiotics or have mercury amalgams or pesticides in your food, they're killed off. And bad guys get in there, and they do not donate mitochondria to you the way that lactobacillus will. So we have to get these guys' numbers back up and get enough CoQ10, which statin drugs destroy that, the number one selling drug in the world. It does not allow cholesterol to become CoQ10, so you've basically shut down your mitochondria with your statin drugs. And so you got to get the CoQ10. You got to have plenty of magnesium. You got to have plenty of malic acid and trace minerals and vitamins for these mitochondria to work. And then as they start working, you get the mercury out of the system because the mitochondria won't work if there's the mercury thing shutting it down. And get your system ready. Then you can gradually get the muscles in tone and all. But there's only 2,000 mitochondria per muscle cell. There are 400,000 mitochondria per brain cell. So a person must get their mind ready, and if they're still cognitively slow, it's going to be real hard for them to eventually get their muscles going right.
Right, understood.
Gentle exercise will help clear the mind, but it's got to be gradual. You can't overdo it, or you will actually make them sicker.